We're looking today in this lesson at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. This is a section on the Christian's relationship to the government. This is a very important subject. It is very important today, and it's important in any generation. And before we look at this passage of Scripture, I want to point out two things to remember about how this teaching in this section connects to the rest of this book of 1 Peter. First of all, what Peter says about obeying the government and obeying the laws of the land in this section is a part of a theme that you will see more of in this book of 1 Peter. And that theme is submission to people in authority. I'm talking about authority that has been delegated to certain people by God Himself. Now, for instance, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, Peter tells us as Christians to submit to the government. In verses 18 through 20, he tells servants to obey or be in subjection to their masters. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, he tells wives to be in subjection to their husbands. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4, he teaches that elders have the oversight over the congregation, and so the members of the congregation are to submit. So this is the first instance of Peter talking about submitting to people who have authority in this life, and we're talking again about delegated authority, people who have been given authority from God to be over other people in this life. That is a part of this life, and it is a part of being a Christian. But also notice how this teaching about obeying the government connects to and follows just after what he said in verse 12. Remember, in verse 12, just before this section, that he said to have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So Peter said to do good, so that unbelievers will see your good works, and then come eventually to glorify God instead of criticizing you. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12, where he talks about unbelievers seeing your good works and then glorifying God, sounds very much like what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 16. Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So you find the same words, good works and glorifying God. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 16 is general. And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 is specific. Peter is talking about a particular kind of good works. Peter is not talking about good works in general, like helping the poor or visiting the sick. The good works that Peter is talking about are the acts of submitting to authorities, obeying rulers in particular, and these other positions of delegated authority as well. So when Peter talks about these good works, and he talks about these unbelievers seeing those good works, he's talking about unbelievers, non-Christians, watching Christians and seeing that they are obedient citizens, that they are law-abiding citizens. Now, why was this so important, and why is this so important today? Peter and Paul and other New Testament writers did not want these Christians to think that now that they're Christians, they don't have to obey anybody but Jesus. Now, the Jewish Christians might have been prone to do that. The Jewish Christians needed to hear this because many of the Jews despised Roman rule. So if there were any of these Jewish Christians in a congregation in the first century that had these feelings of resentment against the Romans, then they needed to hear what Peter said. They needed to be taught that they were not to rebel, but that they were to keep those feelings in check. And then on the other hand, these Gentile Christians needed to be taught what Peter is saying here so that they didn't have a rebellious attitude toward the government as well. And there was another reason why that Peter and Paul and these New Testament writers oftentimes talk about the importance of Christians obeying the laws of the land. And that was to keep unbelievers from talking bad about Christians, to keep non-Christians from saying that Christians are rebellious about everything. Now, some of those non-Christians in the first century had already made this charge against some Christians. In Thessalonica, for instance, there were some there that accused these Christians of doing contrary to the name of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus, Acts 17, verse 7. Now, Jesus never taught this. Jesus never taught his followers to go against Caesar. He said, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." Matthew 22, verse 21. Now, it is true that some of those non-Christians were going to talk bad about the Christians anyway, and that these early Christians couldn't stop people from talking about them, just like Christians today can't stop everybody from talking against them. But what Peter is saying and what other New Testament writers teach is that Christians are not to give unbelievers a reason to criticize. Now, for example, in Titus chapter 2, verse 5, Paul said that young women are to be obedient to their own husbands so that the word of God will not be blasphemed. Now, that means that if these wives rebelled against their husbands and they did not submit to them, then people even outside of the church would talk bad about them because they realize that's not right. And here's another aspect of this. Christian people have to say no enough as it is. We have to disagree with people. We have to refuse to go along with the world. And if on top of that, in addition to that, if we disobey even the common laws of civil government, even the simple laws about driving or paying taxes, then people are going to say that we're nothing but rebels. They're going to say that we can't get along with anybody. And they'll blame the gospel, because the gospel is what teaches us. Now, Peter said that some of these unbelievers in the first century had already criticized these Christians. That's what he says in verse 12. He says that they are speaking against you as evildoers. But Peter said to keep this talk down, submit to civil government. That's what he says in verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. And he notices in verse 15 that if you do that, this is the will of God, that with well-doing, what kind of well-doing? Just doing benevolent work and helping the sick and helping the poor? No, that's not the kind of particular well-doing or good works that he's talking about. He's talking about doing well by submitting to the laws of the land. And he said, if you do that, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Now, with those thoughts in mind, let's look at what Peter says about the Christian's relationship to civil government. Let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. Now notice that he says, submit, obey, be in subjection. And he says to be in subjection to every ordinance of man. Now what that means is every rightful ordinance of man, every legitimate law of the land. And he is talking about government here. That's clear because he says whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors. So he is talking about government rule here. And he says to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Now the question arises here, are there exceptions? Are there times when Christians can and should refuse to obey certain laws of the land? Well, yes, Peter himself did that. The very man who is writing this said in Acts chapter 5, verse 29, to the Jewish rulers, to the Jewish council, we ought to obey God rather than men. because the Jewish council told Peter and the other apostles not to preach in Jesus' name. Well, no government in the world has the right to forbid Christians to preach the gospel. That's going beyond their realm of authority. That is going against the law of God. And so when the law of man goes against the law of God, we are to follow God's law. But here, Peter, the same man, stresses the rule, not the exception. And that's important, because what people are taught the most is what they think about the most and what they act on the most. The rule is this: obey the laws of the land, and that comes first. That's why Peter and Paul and other New Testament writers give more attention to the rule than they do any exceptions. If Peter or Paul or any other New Testament writer had talked more about the exception or the exceptions than they did the rule, he could have stirred up some rebellious feelings in people, and he could have caused these people to get the matter out of perspective, because people do that very easily anyway. And he said to do this, to submit to the laws of the land for the Lord's sake, in verse 13, because how you act as a Christian reflects on the Lord. So he said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. The king here is probably the Roman emperor. Sometimes he is called the king. There were other people, lesser authorities, that were called kings, but the emperor is sometimes called the king in the Bible. John 19, verse 15, and other verses show that. So there were levels of authority in the Roman government, and the emperor was at the top. That's why he's called the supreme authority here in verse 13. Now, in verse 14, he says, or unto governors. In other words, you are to submit to the laws of the governors. These are the lesser or the lower officials who were under the emperor and who answered to him. And these governors, he says, are sent by him. That is, they are sent by the emperor. Now, what you find in the last part of verse 14 is the twofold function of government. Peter shows us what the basic purpose of government is. And we're not just talking about the Roman government. We're talking about any form of government, past or present or future. This is the twofold function or purpose of government, according to God, not according to what those governments say, but in the sight of God, what is the purpose of government on this earth? The Bible tells us here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. The Bible says that government is here for the punishment of evildoers, that's number one, and number two, for the praise of them that do well. Now look at the first one. Government exists in the sight of God for the punishment of evildoers. Governments exist to punish evil people, criminals, lawbreakers, dangerous and hurtful people. These are people that do evil, and especially that injure other people or infringe on the rights of other people. And governments have the right to punish criminals by fines, by imprisonment, by stripes or beating, by forced labor, or by execution, the death penalty. And he says that governments exist for the praise of them that do well. In other words, law-abiding citizens are to be praised by governments. Governments are to reward and appreciate law-abiding citizens, and usually they do, because governments have to spend so much time dealing with so many lawbreakers and so many bad people. They have to spend so much effort dealing with the worst elements in society that dealing with law-abiding Christians is like a breath of fresh air to them. And it's interesting that the very two purposes of government that Peter gives here are the purposes of government that Paul gives in Romans 13, verses 3 and 4. And so, in the verses that follow, Peter says in verse 16, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king.